now, but where was this? Okay, did. Because I listened back. So the reason why they're not archived, so as you know out there, is because when I listened back, I sounded drunk. And I hadn't been drinking anything. Now, what happened was I had this cold. It's still not gone. It's a lot better. And I'd bought these packages with cold medicine, you know, those ones where there's daytime and nighttime in them. And I was in a rush because I thought, okay, I better take something because otherwise I'm going to sit here 2 hours and I'm going to be all congested. And I know during the shows, I felt like somebody had knocked me in the head and I couldn't understand why. And then when I heard the show back the day after, I was like, I sound drunk. And then suddenly it hit me. Oh, yeah, bought that package. And I went and looked. And lo and behold, I took 2 nighttime tablets instead. So I was ready for bed, actually, when I was on that show. I think that's funny. Anyway, I want to wish all of you a happy new year. Welcome back here to 1-2 Radio. We started the shows up here Monday. And we're going to continue with all new shows every week. I can't completely, you know, guarantee that, but that is a hope that we have for everyone. I hope you all made it through, as I said, through the holidays, and that you're all like where you need to be and everything is good and all that stuff. I'm still in Toronto and I'm not loving it. It's cold, it's snowing, and I know exactly where I would love to be right now, and that is not here. It might be a place further south from here. But that will happen one day very soon, I hope. I want to quickly say how you can get into the chat room if you want to. And that is if you go to 1-2radio.com. That's usually what I do. Well, that's the way I explain it because it seems like that's the easiest way to do it. And then I would say go up to the left-hand corner, click the chat button. It'll take you to Facebook, and that is our chat room. And it would love to have you here. This is like this is all interactive. And guess what? We are live today. It's not one of my pre-recorded shows, which I do love. But today I felt with my guest who's coming on, I felt that that deserves a live moment because why would we not be live? Because we might say something we can never, ever, ever take back again. So there you go. I will just ask Serena, because I was going to bring her on, actually. But Serena, I don't know. She doesn't like sound, so I don't know what's wrong with her, but I don't know. I'm just saying stuff, and it's absolutely not true. She loves sounds. That's our new producer, and she's here, and she's great. So I will ask Serena do you mind putting on my intro music? Welcome, everyone, and welcome to Oliver here in 2025. I want to let you know why the show is called Oliver is because of the guest I have on tonight, this wonderful man. Because when we came back to 1-2 Radio about 2 or 3 years ago, I think it is now, I didn't want to call it the Oliver Show. That was the old version. And I was just playing around with different names and whatever, and he actually said, why don't you just be Oprah? I was like, well, okay, but she's already taken. And he was like, no, be Oliver. Okay, so I'm Oliver, and here I am. And I do want to introduce my wonderful guest tonight. We have known each other for many, many years and been through a lot. And but we're still talking. And once in a while, I have him on here just to hear where he's at and where what's coming up and how we can all just support each other, because he's very good at uplifting people up to a different place with his. Everybody says he has a wonderful voice. I think they're lying. But I think he is too. But I do want to say welcome to One to Everything, and that is Mark Hudson. Are you here?
I am. Hey.
How are you, Mark?
I was going to make a joke about your title, and then you gave me credit for it, so now I can't.
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
I was going to say, I'm going to be on Oliver. It's like, wait a minute, why can't we say the Oliver Show? But you're right, that's good. It is like Oprah, I love it. And
you completely did that, and I thought it was fantastic. When I do some of the banners, or when the banners are made sometimes, and I write on an all new Oliver, I'm like, oh god, okay, is there a new Oliver? You know, every week. Well, there pretty much is. If I have to be honest, we all change, right, from week to week, and I know that this world and us and everybody has gone through so much, and I, for one, I am so happy 2024 is behind us. But that could have something to do with that the little planet, non-planet, dwarf planet. Maybe it's a planet, Pluto.
It might have something to do with it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some people aren't happy to see 2024 go, but I'm with you. I'm excited about the changes. I think change is good. It gets so stale after a while, and you're like, something different, please. And we're getting it this year for sure.
All over the world. All over the world. I know in the U.S. you talk a lot about what's going on there, but me sitting here, you know, I've been in, I can live in 29 countries now, and but I just got my residency in Mexico, but I'm here in Canada, and then of course my home is Denmark, but I do follow the news everywhere, like all over across and down there and back, and I can say that. No, it's all over the world. It's all over the world. And it's so, you know what it is, Mark? It's almost like it's the same story that's unfolding everywhere.
What do you think it is? How do you hear it?
Well, the thing I hear is that everything is sort of collapsing. And then whoever gets into power, they don't like, or you know, it's sort of the same thing. Or the person who is in power is doing exactly like the person who's doing it in Canada, who, sorry to say it, but he is now off and to another place, and sort of it's just sort of like there's a mirror. There is there's a sort of existing there, and I didn't mean to get too political, but I have to say that I came back to Toronto after not having been here in a while, actually a couple of years. I didn't recognize it.
Really? In what way? Is it just like words? You mean?
Well, first of all, everything is expensive, but you can that it is everywhere. I mean, the minute you look at a grocery store, you've already, you know, spent $100, right? A one bedroom apartment is $2,500, and a very small one, and people are not happy. There's not enough work, et cetera, et cetera. But drugs here have gone crazy, and crime has gone up like you wouldn't believe. Every day there are shootings and stabbings and everything else. I actually felt safer in Puerto Vallarta than I do here in Toronto. And I don't go out at night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that because of, is it economic? What are you attributing it to? Like, what is the change in? I know Justin Trudeau, a lot of people are happy he's gone. He stepped down. But I mean, is it because the policies were, there was not a lot of strict enforcement or stuff like that? I mean, what do you think?
Well, there are certain things that are going on the way that I see it. And you know how it is on a personal basis. Yeah. If you don't have enough to spend, or if you can't make ends meet, you get cranky, right?
Yeah.
And you're not a happy camper, and people can't afford anything here anymore. I mean, really. So people are leaving Canada, right?
Yeah.
And so that's certainly one thing to why it is the way it is, because people are unhappy with the situation.
Yeah.
And what you say about law enforcement, I just had an incident, which I do not want to get into on here on the air, but I did have to call the police, and it was pretty serious. It took them 18 hours to get there.
Oh, my gosh. That's
All I could say is it was the next day. All I could say is thank God it wasn't a serial killer. They would have said, is there any way you can avoid that knife for a little bit? Or is there a bathroom you can lock yourself into? You know?
The cops are coming in 2 days and
exactly. Is there any way that door was barricaded by two serial killers? Is there any way? Is there another place you can get out? You know,
could you kill some real serial while we're waiting?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh!
Take care of it yourself.
Too bad. That is sad. That's an unfortunate situation, and it's not. And I do think it is. That it rings true of a feeling that we all want a great change to come about, like a change, like something has to change, right? That kind of feeling. And I think we're getting it for sure.
Well, there is a change coming for sure, as I always say, because I think I shared this with you, but on the election day in the U.S., when there was a change of government, I mean, I had quite a few clients calling me, and they were so upset, and they were crying, and they were depressed, and they were like, I mean, what do you do in a situation like that, right? And but as I have shared earlier, I took one of Christina LaFrance's advices, and that was how I would say to them, you know, if you want change and you want something different, go out, do something about it. I mean, I don't know, make a grassroots movement, or, you know, or bring the community together, or find ways that you find like-minded people so you can thrive better than if you feel like that you're all alone.
Well, exactly. I mean, we forget that our life isn't, we have a personal life. We have people that depend on us. Most of us do. Most of us have people that we depend on, at least if not that depend on us. We have bills that we have to pay. We have responsibilities and duties. We have houses that need to be cleaned. I mean, on a personal level, inside, we all have to take care of first us, and we extend that. And the more we do that, but if we're living our life through these people that we'll never meet, that are brought to us through media and through the digitalization of a computer screen, then it's sort of like we lose who we are and there's no identity. It's sort of like, okay, they get to tell us whatever they want to upset us, to make us happy, whatever. But we still have that basic responsibility to ourselves and to our life. And you can look at the worst case scenario, you can look and say the avalanche is coming or the apocalypse is coming. You can do all that if you want.
Yeah.
But I think years of being an astrologer has told me that does nothing to us in the moment. All that study that most of us spiritual people talk about was the be here now stuff. How is that being here now if we're so worried about 5 weeks from now or 2 years from now? We have to start getting the inner physical, mental, spiritual, emotional strong. We have to get ourselves in a place of feeling healthy and happy and vibrant and realize where our happiness comes from. Gone are the days where these people who I'll never meet, never know, see their pictures everywhere, are going to have the kind of effect they used to have on me. I'm not going to give that power up to them anymore personally. And I understand why people get scared and they get upset and they clutch their pearls and they hold their breath and they white knuckle it. But it's also like, what are you doing to yourself and the people around you when you do that? I mean, you become something so disgusting to me that it's like it doesn't compare to what you're afraid of. You become it. And so I think we have a certain responsibility to ourselves and our lives and the people around us to keep some semblance of hope and happiness and extending a sense of love and compassion, because we live in the greatest country in the world. At least I do. You're going to. It's I think that we're lucky to be in free states and free countries and places where we're allowed to express ourselves, because there are millions who aren't. Yes. And so we got to start somewhere with, like, instead of destroying what we have, it's sort of like, let's make it better I don't know, you know, do it like you said, you be the change you want to be is a kind of nice little Zen koan, but yeah. It's also, you know, I think be the happiness you're looking for, be it, start, what is missing? And it can't be that this guy in some place in Pennsylvania Avenue controls my immediate happiness. I'm not going to let it happen. So anyway, I know it's hard, but I get upset about people being ruining their lives over it. It's like, what are you doing? I did that already. The first round. I'm not doing it anymore. I really am not. I want to be. So I love to look at the planets. I love to see how they're suggesting, what they're suggesting is coming down. I love to look at how people make everything a religion. Everything becomes a religion. Their political affiliation, their religion, their non-religion. The stances that we take, we identify with so completely that we sometimes get to this position where we have to reject people who aren't taking the stance that we have. And I think if we start seeing just how rigid that some of us have become and some of these ideologies have made us, I think there's a time for introspection and change that can come from it.
No, I agree with you. So, Mark, what about the planets? What do they say? What advice do you have to give the listeners from an astrological point of view?
From an astrological point of view, we're in a very powerful, powerful time. And when we are in powerful times, things can be very scary. So the first thing you have to do before you hear any of the news about the planets is figure out what makes you safe and take care of it. And if that is developing an inner voice, an inner message that counteracts your fear and your horror and your victimization, change it. Get some voices. Get some energy. Start reading stuff. Get off the internet if you have to, but start bringing in some positive energy to focus on some positive words, number one. Number two, that means that Mars, for example, is retrograde and Venus is going to be going retrograde, but Mars just changed signs. And I think that's a big thing for anybody to perk their ears up to. Whenever a planet changes signs, get ready to feel that there's an adjustment required and there's going to be a shift in your focus. Well, it's going backwards, but it went backwards from Leo to Cancer. And so now we're going, Mars is in Cancer. Mars is in the masculine. Mars is in the sign of the feminine, of the mother. And we're looking at this thing about like what makes us feel safe. We're looking at the motherland. We're looking at this, what brings forth the dominant focus of us. What's our component in us that brings us force to action? And the action that's going to be taken that we need is security. That's going to be the focus. And so we know that Mars is going to take a look at everything in our life vigilantly that makes us feel unsafe. And so that's a thing people are noticing. So if you woke up and you were a little worried about finances more than normal, that's you doing your Mars to find out what is going to make me safe. And as we get more comfortable with it, as Mars goes deeper into the sign of Cancer, Cancers, Scorpios, Pisces, first of all, are going to be called to action. I think there's going to be an energy for water signs. Yeah. I think there's going to be a push-pull for fire signs. I think there's going to be a sense of like, I got to do, if you feel torn in any situation, choose one thing, take care of it, and then choose the other thing and take care of it. Don't try to make both things work. I think the same is true. If you're an air sign, I think sometimes the air signs, they look for understanding, they look for compassion, they look for things where they're connected, and they might feel a little dissociated from some of this energy. Like, in other words, feeling misunderstood or feeling that they don't fit in. If you have a lot of air in your chart, you might feel like, I'm outside of the world, I'm on another planet. And that of that is good, because when you're feeling those things, whatever you're feeling, you're developing a counter narrative to support that, to make it feel okay. So if you're not feeling connected to anybody, if you're an air sign and you're feeling like alone in the world, then one of the things you can do is find out information and books and people that are like-minded. So seek similar things, or use your wisdom of an air sign to understand somebody else. Like, take a minute. What's the other side thinking? What's this person who I don't really understand thinking? Where's my tolerance? How do I bring that in? So that's one thing, Mars changing signs in Cancer. So we're looking at security. What makes us secure? What makes us insecure? What makes us feel empowered? What are we loving? What are we holding on to that we may need to let go of? All those things, very important questions. And that's one of the shifts that just occurred. I'll take a breath here because that was Mars to see if, you know, I don't want to just be all air and talk. So that was the Mars thing.
I love it. Like Mars being the warrior planet, you know, and you getting out of breath. That's amazing.
That doesn't take much for me these days, but
it doesn't help that you have Mars there, you know. So
yeah. And see, and I think that what we have to do is also know that there, whenever there's a change, there is, in any change, there's a sense of discomfort. There's a sense of instability. There's a sense of the boat is rocking, and we get nervous. And so we get a little afraid, which means the first thing we do with Mars being in Cancer and Pluto being in Aquarius is we start anchoring in things that we enjoy.
Yeah.
We start bringing in the things that really support who we are as people, as an identity. And I'm thinking things like turning off social media, turning off the news. Start having some control over what comes into your field.
Absolutely.
Because there is a generational change. There's a shift in people's understanding of the world. We're going to start looking at things a little differently. And it's going to be like Pluto left in Capricorn and gave us like a complete change of government, which is what Capricorn is. Now it's in Aquarius. Yeah. And now we get to see this ideology come into play. We get to see science and technology and AI, the brilliance of Aquarius in transformative ways. If you all saw the guy from NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, yesterday introducing what 40 robots were on stage. Oh my God, it was profound. Because he invented
as long as they're hot.
Huh?
As long as these robots are hot and they do as I say, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty convinced that these
Westworld.
Yeah. And they have like different ones. Like they have acrobatic robots, and they have robots that are for sorting, and they have ones that have long, long, long arms for taking care of lifting and, you know, turning themselves into, you know, forklifts. It's crazy. But watching it, you know, no matter what our fears, because we're always afraid of the new stuff. We just have to, that has to be the first response. That's what the mind does. But yeah, if you're looking at it from a point of view of like, wow, that y'all been working on that stuff. And here's this row of robots. And he raised his hand and said, let's say hi, everybody. And all the robots raised their hands and waved. It was like eerie, but freaking
it's eerie
cool.
And scary. But at the same time, it's also amazing where technology is going, right?
Unbelievable.
And
if that's
a lot of
how
people,
Pluto
yeah,
and Aquarius is introducing things when it comes, imagine where it's going to be when it leaves. And that's going to be another thing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to just follow up on what you were saying about AI, you know. And because a lot of people are afraid of AI. And I can understand why, because right now you can really do deep fakes and you wouldn't even know the difference.
That's right.
And because that's what AI can do these days. And but it's one of those things, you know, you can't run away from it, or you can if you want to, but if you do run away from it, you're also just leaving it alone and you have no clue what's going on. That's just going to promote more fear. When why not start studying about it? Why not learning it? Why not understanding what it is and what you can do for it? But because there's also a lot of good you can do with it. And that brings me back to, you know, I can't remember who said it, but when electricity came out, you could cook a man with it, or you could light up your apartment.
Yeah, or you could make a Frankenstein out of it, monster.
Well, look about the television. You know, before we read more books, then the television came. You know, and now we all sort of just lost the whole notion of what does it actually mean to interact, and gotten even worse with the cell phones, right? But it's there, and you get to, in my world, and people can agree disagree with that, but you get to create a balance, and
yes,
and you're being given an opportunity to use your consciousness, actually say to yourself, what am I doing right now? Is that good for me? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, yeah.
No, so, I think that we have a duty to do that. But also, tell me a situation where the first response isn't people are nervous. People are scared. I mean, that's our response. That's what we do. So exactly.
That's why they say, you know, like the only thing that's constant is change.
That's right. I mean, which should force us into a place of some internal area, a remembrance of what is permanent, because nothing out here is going to stay the same. No, it's going to change. No. But yeah. One thing that doesn't change, if we believe this, is that certain kind of constant connection inside. I see it as sort of like our God connection, but you don't have to be spiritual to have that thought. But there is something that is available to us that isn't out here. And when we see things out here that look a little scary, it's like the one thing that's most familiar is, you know, the peace of the thought of God, the peace of the thought of love, the peace of the thought of gratitude. And I don't want to sound like a preacher because I know there's so many different beliefs out there. Yeah. But if out here gets so scary, it's almost like a built-in safety mechanism. Out here should be scary. It is. There's nothing safe out here. There's nothing out here that isn't killing something else on every level, from microscopic to macro. There's something killing something else. I mean, amoeba is killing itself to survive. I talked about it at my show. So if everything out here is a dangerous, murderous place, there is one place we have a guarantee that it isn't that, and it's inside. And it has to do with love. It has to do with light. It has to do with remembering that we are in this place, but we are not of this place. And if anything this technology thing should do for us, or this change in politics should do for us, it should push us there. And if it pushes us there, yay, yay, yay. But if we're still afraid, if we're still looking out here, then you're out here looking. It's okay. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be afraid. I can't imagine somebody not looking out in the world and going, I'm totally not afraid. Well, good for you, because that is a pretty rare place to be.
It really is. It's a very good place to be. But I can tell you, with all this new stuff, right, I've never been more creative.
You've been amazing.
I literally can't stop. It's till 4 o'clock in the morning.
You're like all that air in you just gets activated with Pluto. It's disgusting. Stop it.
Yeah. No, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, what can I do? Got to get that air. I have to stop being an airhead.
I just get more creative. I get more tired, but it's like, it's not my
that
time.
Was me,
it's
that
like,
was me. That was me in 2024, right?
Right. I love it. I mean, it's my turn. I'm glad that you're taking the baton and sort of getting some energy from it. No, it's really wonderful to watch, Oliver. I watch that Libra in you come to life and your ideas start flowing. The Capricorn in you starts putting it to work. And if you notice, Mars in Cancer is the opposite of Capricorn, which is it's opposing your sun. So it's going to give you even more power, more energy, more push. And that's pretty good. It's like, in the fact that
That would stress me out to give me more. I would never
if
go to
you
bed.
Had even more. Okay, gotcha. Never go to bed. Then you have your work cut out for you in that way. You yeah. To put a little boundary around
it. And you make so many good points. I mean, and I hope that the listeners, they're actually taking it to heart. And if not, they can go listen back to it in the archives tomorrow. Like Cedric over there. Because there's so many good points that I think it's important to listen to, whether you remember it or live by it, but sometimes maybe go back and just, you know, I need a refresher. And
sweet. Yeah. That's nice. Thank you. I love that. I hope so. You know, it's like, I think it's our job as people that have taken on the mantle of being a sort of spiritual, I guess we say, or guidance people, advisors. Yeah. You know, it's our job to sort of give people an alternative way to think of things that doesn't scare them. Because if we do believe that there's no reason to be afraid, then we have to sort of teach that. I think we have to show that. We have to be able to laugh so much more. There's such a wonderful phrase in the course. I use it all the time. It's God's son forgot to laugh. Most profound thing that in the world that we forgot to laugh. We forgot to find humor in things. We forgot that it doesn't mean anything. That these things that we give such meaning to and that we think we're achieving so much, that there's such a right way to do something. And to be able to sit back and sort of those moments where you see commercials where they're on a porch in the country and they're leaning into the grandma and they're laughing. There's a feeling that generates. And if we could have that for ourselves, if we could sort of chuckle a minute and sort of go, you know what, we're getting all afraid about some robot thing because it's from right out of a movie. And so what do we think? It's going to bust down our door and come in. Well, if it does, we deal with it. I mean, we're going to have to figure it out.
Then my robot dog's going to attack them.
That's right. Exactly. We'll get our robot dogs. That's it. And you know what's going to be fascinating? Movies. To see what they're going to do with movies with this kind of like, not just because of special effects, but because the storylines and the storylines are going to tell us so much about where the zeitgeist is, where the consciousness is. If you look at story, like we had the Marvel universe, right? When you can tell when Marvel's big, we're all looking for heroes. And that means the world's a little afraid. Well, what is going to be the storyline this time? It's going to be fun to watch. I think there's going to be personal heroes. Like I think the one that just won so much at the Golden Globes, he's an amazing, astonishing actor, and his name isn't going to come to me. But
the one
Brutalist.
Yeah.
It's like, what an amazing story about a remarkable.
Adrian Brody.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. It's like, okay, so we're going to see this emerge, and we get to pay attention because Neptune is leaving Pisces, going to go into Aries, and Neptune rules celluloid. That rules the movies. So now we've had
these. Well, I thought you were talking about my thighs.
your side?
No, my thighs. Celluloid.
Oh, you're funny. Yeah, well, Neptune is leaving Pisces, going into Aries, and now we're going to see a new kind of warrior spirit for spirituality, a new kind of fire, because it has been drenched in Pisces. We have seen it in this drug-induced world, all the magic drugs. I mean, Ozempic and Tirzepatide and all those are all the result of Neptune and Pisces, because every time a planet leaves a sign, there's a gift. And Pluto left us the gift of Capricorn, and Capricorn said, basically, we're going to get some security for you, whatever that looks like. And a lot of people aren't happy with that, but it was sort of like the teardown of government. These are people that promised they were going to redo government, right? So that's what Pluto gave us in Capricorn. And now we're going to see Neptune say goodbye to its dreamlike fascination with gender fluidity and all that stuff that was like, what, is this real? And it's going to go into Aries, and I think there's going to be a new warrior kind of fight for our individuality, our spirituality in a very personal sense. So I'm kind of thinking there is such a big shift coming. We're not going to recognize the world the past 10 years, seriously.
So basically what you're saying is that we're going to be allowed to be funny again.
We're going to be allowed to be funny again. We're going to be allowed to be ourselves again. We don't have to worry if someone's going to reject us because we have an opinion that is different than somebody else's. That's this thing.
I don't know that feeling at all.
I know. But I think that's the religious fervor that came out of Neptune and Pisces. I think people were treating their beliefs and values like it was religion. We lost our humor. Comedians can't make jokes anymore unless it's sort of like, okay, unless they're part of the group that they're making fun of. That's going to change. I really think it's going to change.
I do admire those comedians that still hold on to their true values of comedy. I do love them.
They put up with a lot. I mean, it's dangerous. I've seen clips where people just come right in their face on stage and get mad because they didn't include them or they made fun of them. And it was sort of like, wow, this is comedy. Stop.
I know, right? That's why I started rewatching Family Guy.
Are you rewatching Family Guy? Oh my God, that is.
This time I'm going. This time I'm going backwards.
Oh, okay, good. Stewie is my favorite character.
Yes, totally.
One of my favorite of all time, next to Cartman. Correct. I love Cartman.
I literally sit there and I watch that show and I'm go, how the hell does he get away with that?
I know. And that's what it should be. It should be fearless. It should be okay. It should be like if it's tasteless to you, change the channel. Sorry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, you don't have to go punish the person that made the joke, that found it humorous. It's sort of like we have to get out of that. I hope we do. And I think we're going to. I mean, who knows what it's going to take to get to that point. But I do think this sort of Piscean watered down, don't hurt anybody's feelings, don't tread on anybody, is like don't have an opinion that might ostracize somebody else. And it's sort of like, okay, but I do. I have them.
You can't run away from it. No, exactly. And it's so funny you say that because in all honesty, that is one of the reasons I ran away and went to Mexico.
Hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't take it anymore because Canada was one of the worst countries in the world with all of that. And I just had enough.
Oh, I love it. Did you find that it was easier in Mexico then? Like,
well, first of all, I don't speak the language, right? So, but I do now a little bit. But they are funny down there. They don't take things personally.
Oh,
because if they do, they just call on the cartel and they come in and shoot you. You know,
I love it.
No. Just kidding. No, but it's funny because I met a lot of both Americans and Canadians down there. And they felt exactly like I did, and that's why they moved down there.
Oh, I love it. That's so good.
And I just want to, on that note, when you were talking about, you know, you see those commercials where they lean into each other, the grandmother and the kids, and they're laughing all over. That you saw every evening in Mexico.
Oh, really?
That's one of the reasons why I fell in love with that place is because I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I went there. But I fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with the way they take care of each other.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have that in our DNA. And I think we have a chance to get back there.
Yeah, of course we do.
I really have some hope about this. Now, there's some people commenting in the chat room. I just wanted to acknowledge
go ahead.
A couple, if you don't mind, just to scream out.
Should I just say hi to some of them, actually? Because now that I'm live, we're getting a chance to say hi to them. Yeah, but go ahead.
Well, I see Lynn and Renee and Pamela. Mm-hmm. You guys are so lovely to be here. Thank you so much. I love your baby, Louie. Lynn, I see Louie. I had a black and white cat named Louie once. Hey, Jane, welcome to the room. Tara's in the house. I'll never say her name right on the first time.
Tara.
Yeah. And Terry Campbell is here. Thanks, Terry, for being here. Eva's here. And Terry's noticing a change, and she's mentioning that the North Node is going to go into Pisces. And I just want to say thanks, Terry, for mentioning that, because the nodes changing signs is a big deal. And the node rules Neptune, which is going to go into Aries. So that North Node in Pisces is going to be bringing some of that Aries power to us. Ginger's in the house. CA's in the house. I just want to make sure I shout it out that way. Oliver, sorry. I just wanted to.
No, of course. I should do that because, as I say, you know, I'm not always live. So when I get the opportunity to be live and people are in the chat room, I actually get to say hi to them on the air.
That's so fun.
Yeah. I have to say that the few times that I've been, because Raven and I, we've done quite a few live shows together because we were in the same time slot. And I have to say that it's been fun.
Well, I say that it has been fun listening to you guys. You guys are a hoot. There's such chemistry there. It's amazing. There really is.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I just love that when I do a show with Raven now, it's like, we have to talk about aliens. They got to be there. I don't care whether it's Christmas. There has got to be an alien Christmas. It's a standing joke. But yeah, I have been enjoying it. It's just that sometimes when I have a special guest on, if they are an author or a magician or, you know, whatever, it's a little easier to get them off a certain, when it's not a certain time, than it is to have them on like, tonight here it's 9 o'clock. Not anymore. It's 9:40. And, so it's a little easier to pre-record it. And you know me, when I have the pre-records, I can go in and do my editing magic there.
Absolutely. It's easier because you're also not, it's just so much nicer for the person being the guest. There's the pressure's off. You're not sort of, you're not being distracted by checking the room and checking the clock. You just are talking. It's really sweet.
It really is. And I, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. You're right. By the way, I want to hit on something because I'm sitting here taking notes. I want to go. So we're going to backpedal a little bit here and go back to something we talked about, the world and all over the world. My observation is that, like, since many years ago, and you can tell me if that's your observation too, is that it always go from left to right, from east to west. It's the wave that goes back and forward always.
Yeah.
Which is why if you really look into that, there's nothing to worry about because eventually it's going to turn the other way. The tide's going to turn. It's always like that.
Oh, I mean, to everything there's a season.
Yeah.
And I think that pick a year when somebody – pick some New Year's Eve when somebody didn't say good riddance to the year before.
This time I actually meant it. I mean, I fell in a hole. I got punched in the face. I almost drowned. I got scammed by a flight company. Oh, my God. I almost went blind on my right eye. Yeah, I'm happy it's over.
Yeah, there's no question, and I get that, and I don't want to diminish any.
No. Stuff.
But you know what I mean by that is every totally year there's going to be something, and I think that we could. I don't know a year. Did you have years that you celebrated and go, I don't want to see this one go away?
I actually don't give it a lot of thought. Only this time.
But yeah, only this time.
I probably have in the past, and then I can't remember. But this time really is going to stand out as a year where I'm like, I don't know how I got through it.
Like a really tough year, though. Do you know what the transit was for you?
Well, got Pluto in Cancer, Capricorn. It was about to take a, take a hike.
I didn't even think about that. This was your Pluto return on your sun.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was sort of like a double whammy all the time, right? But So when I'm sitting here looking, and this, sit here and I look back, I'm like, isn't it just beautiful that you don't – well, I mean, I shouldn't say that because they call into a network where they want to know what's coming up around the corner. And I sit here and I'm going to say, isn't that wonderful that we don't know what's coming up?
We don't know what's coming up. No. We astrologers can't really tell you what's coming up. We can tell you these are what the changes are happening, but we don't know how it's going to translate. Who knew?
That's true.
Of us looking at the chart for the election and how many people were like, it's going to be Kamala. How many astrologers? Blah, 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 blah. It's like nobody knows. And so what we do know is that there is a generational change, a shift. This is a 14-year. It hasn't happened in 14 years with Pluto. Hasn't happened in 240 years with Pluto in terms of being in Aquarius. But it hasn't happened. It's been in Capricorn for almost 14 years. So seeing the – and that's a generational change. That's a change in our identity. The same thing with Neptune. It's just that what we know, these planets haven't changed at the same time in the same year in a very, very – since we were born. None of us have experienced it. So that makes it exciting because we're going to see shift, like real change. What kind of change? Well, I don't know. Are Aries going to have a good time with Neptune on their suns? Well, some will. Some will hate it. Some will like, this is the best, most magical thing I've ever had. It's just, no one can predict. But what we can say is change is coming for sure.
Well, I mean, it always is, you know. The thing is also when you do readings, right, you know, as some of us, we do, not outside of the astrology, because I use very little astrology, but I have gotten a little bit more into it, so I can definitely see some transits. But what I do now is I use my intuition. For some reason, that seems to have gone in a completely different direction where there's a lot more information coming in. But it's not necessarily about, you are going to run into your ex on Monday, right? I mean, it's not that kind of information that's being pumped out now. It's more about your internal soul and the journey you're on and what you can do with it and then what might happen.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how does that feel for you doing them?
I can't. Well, you know me. I've never been. Well, I've always talked, you know, I wasn't, but, you know, at some point you're like, okay, I don't have any more to say. Now it's like, I can't shut up.
Well, they're getting their money's worth. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but it's wonderful to talk to them. And I definitely also seen a difference with some of the clients that are calling. It's been actually wonderful. I actually had a really good time speaking with them and see, because I don't know about you, Mark, but it's the same thing to say about therapists. I mean, if you have to see your therapist for 10 years, then there's something wrong with the therapist. Okay. and I love to see people who call me on a regular basis. I love to see the changes in their lives.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I said something profound. It happens once in a blue moon. Or they actually just, it gave an energy boost to go and do something different that made us shift. But I do hear back very often where, oh my God, the life has shifted. And that is wonderful to hear. I love when, and I know that sounds like a really odd thing, but I love when clients, they stop calling me because there's no reason to call me.
Well, there's a couple things about that I have to say. Yeah. One is, I think you're right. Sometimes I don't, you know, that commercial that we keep talking about the grandma on the porch, yeah, and the hugs. Sometimes that's all people need to feel. And sometimes it's not about what we say. Sometimes it's about our compassion. And sometimes it's about that you're actually seeing them. And so when, yeah, you're saying you're focusing on this person and all this information is coming through, you are focusing on this person, and suddenly, sometimes, the world doesn't feel so lonely. Yeah. And that's a lovely reason to call somebody, because it doesn't feel so lonely when I can talk this out with somebody else who hears me. And so people who get that jolt, sometimes not calling back is that you gave them you filled that void. And it's sort of like, so sometimes it's that. Sometimes you gave them information that sort of solved a particular problem at a particular time.
And but sometimes I told them something and they said, go fuck yourself.
Well, yeah, sometimes it's like they don't want to hear what you have to say. Absolutely. Yeah. But none of it is about getting someone to a cure. It's always about the experience that people feel with each other. And yeah, I heard it when Ginger was closing her show out. One of her phrases that she says is, people will remember not what you say, but how they feel.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's what we're offering. And that's what I think this cycle is about. Because Pluto in Aquarius, it's a little far from feeling, right?
Yeah.
So there's a change in consciousness. And so Neptune in Pisces, that's pretty heavy feeling. We're going to leave, yeah, that. So it's, feelings are going to be pretty coveted. And feeling connected is going to be a nice reminder in this next cycle. That's one thing I can promise. Right now, it feels like, oh, we're all just saying the same thing or blah, 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 blah. But once we get out into this fiery, airy cycle that's coming, Saturn's going to be in Aries, Neptune's going to be in Aries, Uranus is going to be in Gemini. There's not a lot of mushy-gushy stuff. So connection is going to be coveted. And I think
that suits me just fine, you know, being the Capricorn.
That's
know.
Right.
Yeah. Because you pick yourself up. Present.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a child of God, help yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what my mom used to say.
She said, if you're a child of God, help yourself, or yeah, you are a child of God.
No, she said, if you're a child of God, help yourself. There I don't you. Know why that makes sense, but I don't know, it's funny.
Well, she's sort of implying that you come with a guaranteed sort of, yeah, way to make it work, right?
That is actually what it means, you know, so... That's really beautiful in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful, because it's true that
it is a beautiful reminder.
Yeah. Then we can help ourselves, right? But there's so many, I'm going to be a little bit entertainment here. Not that it wasn't entertaining before, but I've got to hear from an astrological point of view. Who do you think is going to win the Oscars this year? I would say best movie.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't prepare you for this. I was going to prepare you for this, but I was like,
have they been nominated?
Well, it's probably going to be some of the same movies that were at the Golden Globes. I would say most likely.
Like The Brutalist and...
Oh, The Brutalist is going to get in there. And Demi Moore is going to be there. And I don't know. But yeah, maybe even... what's her name? Laurie Anderson? No, not Laurie Anderson. What's her name? Pamela Anderson. And... And, you know, there are all these, you know, They're going to those.
Well, I think anything that does a biop, like I think Timothy Chalamet will probably, if is the Bob Dylan movie going to be up this year?
I can't remember if it's already out, because what
it is out, but I don't know if it was considered a 25 nomination, but any biop always does really well.
Yeah, a biopic. They always do.
They do. And it sounded like he was remarkable in it. And so, but otherwise, I think I haven't seen a lot of them. I don't want to see the Demi Moore movie. That movie disturbs me. Did you see it?
No, because Mark, after all this creative shift that has happened to me, I don't watch movies. I don't watch TV.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest thing ever. You know, you and I, we would always sit there and talk about TV shows.
Yes, you tell me your favorite series.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is anymore.
Oh my goodness, I love that.
Yeah.
I can't say the same thing, but I can definitely say. but I can tell you the movies I watch are all trash. They're ones that John makes me promise will not stick with him in the middle of the night. Yeah. So they have to be action-packed or so unrealistic. And so, like, we're watching The Swordsman now, which is I think it's Chinese. Amazing. It's amazing. But, I mean, nobody likes my taste in movies. I'm a weirdo with movies. I get into those deeper worlds. But
I would say you're European.
Yeah, maybe.
That's
I guess
what a
so.
European would say.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't even mean it. I mean it in the truest sense of the word. Yeah. Like, nobody would say, Mark, give me your movie list, because it's pretty – I mean, it is all over the place. I could watch trash. I can watch good. But the Demi Moore ones kind of made me sick to my stomach. Like, I just don't like that stuff at all. I don't know. That's just personal preference. So it's a world I didn't want to go into. But I have watched some beautiful movies. All of Us Strangers. Have you seen All of Us Strangers, Oliver? You have to look it up.
I have it. See, this is the thing. I have it. I just haven't gotten to see it.
Oh, good. Because you will. It's one of those beautiful stories about life and spirituality and love. And I love movies where I'm different at the end of the movie. That
absolutely
freaks me the hell out. I love it. I want to feel so different. I want to feel like it changed me. And John just watched one called Predestination that I watched with him. Only I fell asleep and didn't tell him. And he said it blew him away. Like, it blew his mind. He's still talking about it. He's researching it. And I'm like, oh my God. I said, I know it was really good, but I'm like, oh, I don't know what it was about. I have to go sneak and watch it on my own now. Damn it. But
I fell asleep to Wicked. So
you did?
I was like, damn, how long is this movie?
Oliver, that is so like not very you. I love it.
We went to the theater. I was in British Columbia. We went to the theater there in Kelowna. I don't know, beautiful theater. And before I knew it, my head was just off his shoulder, and he didn't say anything. But at one point, he pushed me because I started snoring.
Oh my God! You poor thing. You were exhausted.
Yeah, from watching very long nails. Figuring out how does she type with those nails?
I heard she was amazing, Cynthia.
She is amazing. She's singing like I did wake up to Defying Gravity, and I had goosebumps everywhere. It was so well done. It was so well. I mean, the whole movie is worth it just for that.
That's amazing. Some people just come in with it, you know.
And her cape got longer and longer and longer, and I had no clue how that happened, but she's a witch.
What got longer? Her nails?
Her cape.
Her cape.
Oh, yeah, her nails has gotten longer, too. Did you see her, the Golden Globes? I mean, if she had won the Golden Globes, you could have been seated and just reached her hand up. And
put it on my index nail, please.
That's hilarious. I have to say that I have really enjoyed having you on today, and I thought I really appreciate when we have these really, I call them a little, well, they're not too deep, but they're still deep conversations about what's going on in the world, and it gives people something to walk away with, and perhaps also to come back and listen to again. So thank you, Mark, for
you're a gracious host, Oliver. Thanks for having me. It's very sweet.
So thank you for making my first show of the year a wonderful, wonderful.
I'm so honored to be on it. Yeah. Thank you so much. And Jane of Barbone is saying she saw A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan, and loved it. And Terry loved Predestination. So we're not too far.
Apparently, we got movies we have to go and see. I have to see. Maybe I have to hire somebody to do what I do.
Or go see the movie for you and tell you if it was good.
Can I tell you something? And this is also brand new. I know we have to wrap up soon. But if I do that, if I sit in front of it, I can sit here and watch a show on my computer, and all I can think about what it is that I need to do next. I'm not even enjoying it.
I know. It's sort of hard to multitask. I think it's important to make yourself, when you're in front of a movie, be in the movie.
But this is new me. I have never had it that way. I don't recognize myself.
If I had creativity bursting through me like you do, I'd be doing my creativity, no question.
I love it too. But thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, Oliver, you're a gracious host. Thank you so much for having me. Happy New Year and continued success in all you're doing.
Thank you. And I want to say to everyone out there, thank you so much for being here tonight. It was absolutely wonderful to sense your energy and see you in the chat room. I am Would Want to Listen Daily, and up next is Raven, and we are sending you off with a message from our friends over at Cosmic Renewal. See you next Wednesday.
You are the heartbeat that connects life with eternity, a cosmic whisper awakening the truth dormant in every heart. In your presence, the universe unveils its secrets, and silence fills with melodies only the soul can hear. Your being is a poem written in constellations, a symphony of infinite possibilities echoing across the cosmos. You are the path that illuminates the shadows, the serene force weaving together the visible and the unseen. Within you burns the flame that transcends time, the memory of what always was and always will be. And as your steps embrace the vastness, remember, you are the origin and the destination, the eternal pulse that transforms emptiness into creation.